What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Jeffrey Dahmer, Ted Bundy, the Night Stalker. These names are infamous, but do you really know what drove them to kill?
In Mind of a Serial Killer, we don't just tell you the story. We break down the psychology behind it.
Follow and listen to Mind of a Serial Killer, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting from the WEEI studios, powered by Verizon, 93.7 WEEI-FM and HD1, Lawrence, Boston. An Odyssey Sports Station.
WEEI Afternoons, that was head coach Joe Mazzulla of the Boston Celtics, the floundering Boston Celtics. I don't know if floundering is the right word. And I'm not sure he's right either about what the most important thing is. Win. That's the most important thing. Mm. None of those other words you said and mumbo jumbo leadership book that you're going to read, blah, blah, blah. Win. People expect you to win a lot of games.
Yes.
Some of us expected you to win every game you took to the floor at the TD Garden. And that is not going to happen.
No.
Seven games already?
They are at home right now.
Seven losses?
Hold on, I'll tell you exactly. They are 14-5 away. That means they are 14-7 at home. Yeah. Better, means... They're a better road team than home team this year.
Well, Scal had an interesting answer to that, that the home crowd is like elevating the opponent because they feel like they're playing in a real like environment.
Scal had a lot of...
He was a little all over the... Okay, see, you're with me. You asked me why I was criticizing him earlier. I'm not criticizing him. There was a lot in that interview. Interesting takes.
You played Toronto in Boston, and you beat them by 50 points, I think, on, what was that, New Year's Eve, maybe, or New Year's Day? And then you go to Toronto, and you lose to the Raptors, one of the worst teams in the East, one of the worst teams in the league, a team that's actively not trying to win games. And you lose by 13 points on the road. So, I don't know. Maybe maybe that whole thing with the crowd didn't go that the way he said in that one. But
and they didn't have a crowd there. Did you see halftime? It took forever for the people to come back.
It was brutal.
The place was empty for the bulk of the third quarter because no one came back.
Drake doesn't even show up for these games
anymore. No.
Although.
He will next year if they get Cooper Flagg.
Maybe.
I don't know. Everybody will. That place will be decked out.
He's also having a very rough week.
Drake is,
yes.
Drizzy?
Do you know what happened with Drake? Drake is suing Kendrick Lamar's record label for putting out that song accusing him of certain things, even though Drake put out a song accusing Kendrick Lamar of all sorts of other things, too, which just, I'm sorry, like,
He's suing him over a rap song.
Over a rap beat.
That would be like he went and got his mom to get his back.
Like, that would be
my mom said, you can't say that anymore.
Imagine if Tupac sued Biggie.
Yeah, crazy.
To be fair.
It's hard to imagine.
Lawsuits do save lives.
Do they?
I mean, if you just take to the streets and start shooting each other, that's not necessary. Violence is never the answer.
That's true. There's lots of rap beefs that didn't end that way, but I know what you mean. Either way, it's been a rough week for Drake. I agree with that. And a rough week, a rough season in general for the Toronto Raptors, except for last night. Last night, they were kind of a well-oiled machine. They shot over 50% from the field. They, I thought, played much stronger defense than the Celtics did. The Celtics' defense may be the most confounding part of all of this.
Could be.
Because that was, even when Ime was here, that was their trademark, you know, like when Rob Williams was in the middle and they played this really impossible to penetrate kind of umbrella defense with him roaming around behind, like no one could score on them and they'd blow people out. And Mazzulla continued that, not exactly the same, but similar enough that you thought, okay, like this is going to be a trademark of this team for years to come. Derek White, a tremendous defensive player. Drew Holiday is one of the best defensive guards in the league. And I think that Brown and Tatum are both very good defensive players, too. And for some reason this year, the defense has fallen off dramatically. And that last night was a great example of it, I thought.
I don't disagree. And that's the problem with this team, and I think it's on all levels. You make a strong argument. Yeah, they're all great defensive players on their resumes.
Then I watch the games. I tune in at a little 7 o'clock. I hear Drew Carter talking, and I'm watching the games, and they're not playing on any level to their resumes, certainly defensively. But again, I can almost accept that. That is where I think you're going to see some of that, oh, it was a long year, and a couple guys played in the Olympics, and yeah, I mean, we're going to have to turn it up when we get to the spring and the summer, so we'll kind of lull. Like, I can sort of accept that, but that's not the be-all, end-all, cover-all for their lapses in winning, in being a good basketball team.
Yeah.
The shooting isn't good. The cohesion isn't good. Shouldn't they be better? Wasn't part of the whole thing is they got their whole lineup back, and they got five all-stars. What was the five of the top 50?
Yes.
Or whatever, 40-something?
All the whole starting five
whole
was in the
team,
top 100.
And they're this. And they've played together. They've been on a championship run together. The relationship between Brown and Tatum couldn't be any better. Everybody knows their roles. Drew Holiday's a leader. Porzingis. And it all seems like bunk right now.
Yeah.
Like, there's no truth to that.
They've lost three of their last five, and in those three games they lost, they didn't crack 100 points.
Yeah, no, they're not good.
Like, that's bad. I'm sorry. That's, for any team, that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
You know, not just the Celtics. Like, and that's a bad sign for anybody.
And that's real scoreboard. That's not efficiency ratings. Because there was some of that the efficiency rating with their starting five is really bad, but it's such a small sample that it can be swayed and this and that. No, this is the scoreboard in a game where you five guys go out there against those five guys, and you're supposed to beat those five guys because you're better than those five guys. Except you're not winning games at the rate you should win games. And there have been some injuries, right? Like, not major injuries, but little inconsistencies with Brown and Porzingis.
They've shouldered those.
And they've been, and that's where Scal's argument is they're actually better when they have those.
They might be, honestly.
So
when they're not at full strength, it seems like sometimes they play better, you know?
So then what are we saying?
I don't know. That's a good question. I mean, like, I don't know.
No, like, are we saying you need to move on from somebody? Mm. You're better without somebody? There's some weird chemistry. There's not enough ball to go around. Like, what
I'd
are
say
we
no,
saying?
No, because they won the championship last year.
Agreed.
So I don't think that they have to trade. I don't think they have to trade somebody.
So they were
and
at
what
their
happened
best.
Between then and now, let me tell you, what happened between then and now is they went 21-5 to start the year and looked like the killers that they were last season. And then this stretch happened here over the last month, and I don't know exactly what to attribute it to. The main thing that sticks out in my mind when I watch them is effort on defense. I mean, the shooting's going to come and go. You're going to have ups and downs shooting the basketball all season long, and you're not going to beat a lot of teams when you're scoring under 100 points. That's just a fact of life in the NBA these days. You score under 100 points, you're probably going to lose. But if you give it more of a defensive effort, you should be able to beat a team like the Raptors, right?
100%.
You have R.J. Barrett blowing by everybody, Grady Dick hitting step-back threes. Like, they really had no answer for the Raptors' energy. And again, this is a team they beat by 50 points 2 weeks ago. And it's like, you know, like, I wonder when that is going to become more consistent. And I wonder why certain guys on this team are tolerating it the way that they are. Coach included.
Who? Okay,
Tatum, Brown, the two main guys and the head coach.
Okay,
I wonder why this is being sort of tolerated that way.
So that's my biggest question is, I think Vrabel said this, anybody can lead when you're winning or something in his press conference.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now you're in, and they're not losing. They're not a bad team. They're not going to miss the playoffs and fail to defend their title. Way too early for all that talk. But over the last few weeks, they're not a great team.
Mm.
They're not living up to their own standards. So who is going to step up and fix that? Who is going to call them on the carpet? I can say it now because we talked Patriots. Willie McGinnis was known as a leader, and it was like it was hard to go off the rails when you had a guy like Willie McGinnis making sure he stayed on the rails.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody who was a good player, was feared. I think there's some of that.
Yeah.
Who's feared on the Celtics?
And anybody?
Nobody.
I don't think anyone is.
Literally nobody.
Even the Heat had that guy. Who was that guy that was on the bench for the Heat all those years? What's his name?
Oh,
he didn't even play. He did play, but then eventually he was just in the
but
end
not
of the bench.
The end, the last couple of years.
Yeah, he was like ML Carr at the end, waving the towel around. What the hell was that guy's name? He had a funny name. Udonis Haslem.
Yes, Haslem.
Thank you
very much.
They
do not have
They don't have a Haslem.
I think they need that.
Well,
you know who should be that, but isn't that? It's not close to that.
Horford?
Al Horford.
Yeah.
But he's not anything like
not that.
Not
that kind of personality. Yeah.
Porzingis isn't that. Tatum isn't that. I know you're going to yell at me. The closest thing you have to that is Jaylen Brown.
I'm not going
to
yell at you for that. I agree with that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good. I just assume I'm such a beaten dog that I assume you're going to yell at me everything I say. The closest thing they have to that is Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
And right
but
now.
But he's not that either.
He's not that. Yeah. He's not all in on that. And I would also say he needs to find his game as well. He's not playing well.
He's having a bad month.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's hard for him, I think, to be that if he's not playing well. Like, we saw his leadership come to true fruition last postseason run, but what did that coincide with? He's playing well, right? Like, he's playing defense, he's scoring, he's doing what needed to be done. Right now, he's one of the Celtics that isn't playing well. So to step up and be like, we need to all get our crap together, like, everybody goes,
yeah, how about you start?
You start it. Mm-hmm. Maybe when you play better, we'll all play better. And I think that leadership slash jump starting of getting back to who they are, because I still think they are, that's where I'm with Scal. I think they are who we think they are.
Mm-hmm. I do too.
But these stretches are too long for this.
And by the way, Cleveland's not having these stretches.
No.
The Cavs are on pace for 71 wins right now.
They're doing what you were supposed to do.
71 wins. And they got...
What's their record at
home? Okay, that's a good question. They have OKC coming up tonight. It's the second time they've played OKC, I think, in 2 weeks. And these are the two best teams in the NBA. Not you, Celtics. You're not part of this conversation. There are two great teams in the league right now, and you're not one of them.
Cleveland is 20-2 at home.
It's pretty good.
OKC is 17-2 at home. Also, that's what you're supposed to do when you're an elite team.
Also pretty good. 617-779-7937. Here's Dan Ball to get you caught up on what's trending. When we come back, Vince Wilfork spoke on not just Mike Vrabel, but also the end of the Gerard Mayo era here in New England. Let's get into that and why it may be not as easy as we think for some of these coaches to want to come over here, as well as maybe during free agency, some of these players. That's all coming up after Dan Ball. Get you caught up on what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
All right, here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Celtics fell to the Toronto Raptors last night, 110-97. The defeat snapped Boston's 10-game winning streak against Toronto. Peyton Pritchard led the Celtics with 20 points, all coming off the bench. Boston returns home tomorrow night when they host the Orlando Magic. They have a 4-3 record in the month of January so far. In football news, Bill Belichick's first coaching staff at North Carolina continues to come together as longtime NFL special teams coach Mike Prefer and veteran SEC offensive line coach Will Friend are expected to finalize deals to join Belichick's staff. That being said, reports this morning claim that there is no fully executed and signed contract between Belichick and UNC at this time. Belichick was announced as North Carolina's head coach on December the 11th. And in NFL news, the city of Cleveland filed a lawsuit against the Browns to prevent the team's planned move to a new dome stadium in Brook Park, Ohio. The city alleges that a Browns move would violate the Modell Law, an Ohio law that placed conditions on how teams can leave their publicly financed facilities. Meanwhile, the NFL playoffs continue this coming weekend, and WEEI's coverage of the football postseason is brought to you by Wise Snacks. No one does crunchy, salty, or cheesy better than Wise Snacks. On the ice, the Bruins are off until Saturday when they visit the Ottawa Senators. Puck drop is set for 3 p.m. And finally, Bob Uecker, the voice of his hometown Milwaukee Brewers, who after a short playing career earned the moniker Mr. Baseball and honors from the Hall of Fame, has passed away. He was 90 years old. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Timeout Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons with Arcan and Hart coming up right after this.
Get Boston Sports Original on the go.
Wherever you go.
Just download the Odyssey app.
We're right back to it. Afternoons with Arcan and Hart on WEEI.
That is genius advice from Vince Wilfork that I hadn't really thought of. Lean into that, Gerard. I found.
Right.
Yeah,
man,
right.
Your boy would do it. Your boy would definitely do it.
But he also had control of the roster.
But details don't matter here. Just somehow align yourself with, I did one thing. I brought them Drake May. I'm surprised your boy hasn't actually done that and said, I set them up to take Drake May. That's what I did. I gave them, like, he took credit for the Ravens dynasty by saying he set up the Browns to become the Ravens, which was really a bit of a stretch. But that's good by Wilfork.
That's Wilfork with the New York Post. That was an interview with the New York Post talking about the unfair firing and the, to use the expletive, but the crappy roster that was inherited by Gerard Mayo. And I don't think that he found Drake May. Drake May fell in their lap, and it had nothing really to do with Gerard Mayo whatsoever.
No, but if you say things often enough, they become part of accepted culture and narratives.
And they'll remember that they were there at the same time, and that's fine. But I don't think enough people are saying that it's going to become part of the narrative. I just don't think so. And Wilfork saying that, no one else. I've not heard anyone else say that.
No. Gerard should take that, run with it, get anybody that'll help him, friendly media, friends of Mayo, to do it. That's a good take. I also can't accept. I struggle with this. I don't know if you saw the video version of that.
I know. He's so small.
Yeah. All I could hear in my head was Mrs. Claus saying, no one likes a skinny Santa. No one likes a skinny Vince Wilfork. Vince Wilfork is a nose tackle. He's a fire hydrant, tree stump, immovable object. I can't accept that.
I know. I mean, he still probably could bench press our whole family. But
100%.
Either way, he's not. You think of Vince Wilfork, you think of a specific body type.
Overalls?
Yeah.
Making barbecue?
Nothing else.
Eating barbecue?
Spraying sauce on the barbecue? Yeah, exactly. That's what I think
I'm just that. No. Get your barbecue out and put on 100 pounds. Let's go.
I love Vince Wilfork, man. I love that dude. I don't know what he was like in the locker. You probably know more than that.
He's a good dude.
I loved Vince
Wilfork.
He could
be sensitive.
Oh, was he awesome?
He got sensitive when we would pick against them in the paper.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He read all that, and he'd, like, find it.
Oh,
Bill
used to post it.
Really?
He would post the picks section of Patriots Football Weekly. Because one year they went to Miami, and everybody in picks picked Miami. And Bill posted it, and they were all, they wouldn't even talk to us. Yeah. He could be. The other thing I didn't love about Vince, and if we're being dead honest here, if you were in a post-game interview session with him, and just I just want to quote. I want to get, he was a little long-winded.
Oh, really?
And you're like, Vince, I just have a quick quote about the game, and I want to get. Oh, you're still talking. Oh, can we tighten this up a little bit?
And the other
that's
thing,
on me.
Yeah, one other thing, just a follow. He's like Ross Tucker, and just before I finish here, something about
those gloves
pickers.
Are off. He goes to the Knights, and the gloves are off.
Oh yeah, now that I don't have to interview anybody, I'm going to be talking so much more smack. It's not even funny. It's just going to be nonstop night long. Get ready. I think it's interesting that he was taking a shot at Bill there too. You know, he had this terrible roster that Bill built.
Oh, yeah.
And here it is. And I was surprised to hear Vince talk
about it. It's called objectivity.
It's true.
Some people have it, Stiz, and others don't.
Yeah. And by the way, Wilfork and Mayo, I think, in a lot of ways, were semi-responsible for each other's success. Because Mayo was right behind Wilfork. Wilfork was right in front of Mayo. And the two of them were a menace down the middle against the run, against tight ends, against anybody who came over there. You had, and it was sort of the same thing with Ray Lewis and what was the guy's name? His nose tackle that he had there all those years in Baltimore.
The big white guy who came on TV. Not Haloti Ngata.
Haloti Ngata, that's what I was saying.
Oh, I was going to before him. It was the big white guy.
I'm not sure what big white guy you're talking
about.
Stood
under the goalpost for Fox and then died, I think.
Pacelli.
Yeah, no.
No, it's not Pacelli.
Tony Pacelli's left tackle for the Jags.
Oh, yeah, right.
Big white guy.
Siragusa.
Tony Siragusa.
Yeah.
And he's dead, right? I think.
He is. No longer with us.
That's
pretty sure.
Sad.
I know it is.
I mean, it's not kind of sad. It's very sad.
But maybe that's it. You know, those two weren't just teammates. They fed off each other.
That's like probably some truth
to that. In those years.
In the trenches together.
Yeah.
Like, we were a symbiotic, you know, those relationship between the whale and the fish that swim with the whale.
Right.
Relationship and all that. It's not, I mean, there's a similar relationship. I know he's not here, but that was Mike Vrabel and Richard Seymour. Vrabel would talk a lot about Seymour, how great he was in front of him. People say, like, oh, I did certain things. Well, not he did certain things, and then I did my part behind him.
Right.
Like, he made me a better player. But there's a lot of truth to what Wilfork is saying, and some untruth when you say he found or brought them Drake May.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
He was the coach when Drake May arrived. That is a fact we cannot dispute.
Mm-hmm.
And but he didn't break him. And he didn't bully
him. Definitely didn't break him.
And he didn't bully him like Brian Flores with Tua in Miami.
Definitely. Well, I don't know if he definitely didn't bully him. I don't know what it was like behind the scenes. It didn't seem like he did. Yeah, it certainly didn't seem that way.
That would stun me if we found that out.
Didn't seem like he really bullied anyone.
No, part of the problem, I think.
Right? He could have been a little more hard-nosed, I would say. A little more than he was. He was going back and playing cards with the boys after some of these losses and stuff, which people didn't like. And I understand that. I don't think Vrabel's going to be doing that. And I think that when you have a team that's now on its third head coach in 3 years and maybe its fifth offensive coordinator in 5 years, although it wouldn't necessarily be that if they brought McDaniels back, but you know what I mean.
Fourth in 5 years.
It could be fourth. Or if they bring Van Pelt back, it would still be fourth. But
or Billy O.
Billy O. Yeah, right, I guess.
I mean, if he came back, I don't think it's going to happen. I've heard people pose that question, though.
Who's posed that one? I haven't heard that.
I don't know. I think they jokingly posed it to them on the interview the other day when Billy and what was it? What did they say? Did they call him the Heights or Billy from the Heights? They called in like it was a. Chestnut Hill.
Billy from Chestnut Hill.
I was going to say Chapel Hill. I don't know why I had a CTE moment. Chestnut Hill.
Well, Chapel Bill is what you were thinking of.
Yes.
By the way.
Yeah, a lot going on there.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
I would be very concerned if I don't know the guy's name, but like the AD and the school and
the guy with the no sleeves and his suit jacket.
I cut the sleeves off my shirt and made an ass of myself on national TV for you.
If you don't know what we're talking about, Bill Belichick, according to a report from CBS Sports, Jonathan Jones, has not signed his contract yet with UNC, which
Jones goes on to explain, isn't super unusual. Sometimes guys get an agreement, and then they put their staff together, yeah. and then they don't actually put pen to paper for, you know, months or whatever after that.
This is not sometimes guys right. situation. It's this Bill is Belichick. Bill Belichick, yeah. who stunned everybody by going there. And then we got wind of the, oh, wait, his buyout goes from $10 million to $1
million? Oh, weird.
Well, right now he has a non-binding, I forgot what the term they used, offer sheet or something.
Yes.
There's like a one-pager, basically, that they signed, but it says right in the one-pager, this is not a binding agreement.
Let me find the story here. It is from Jonathan Jones, not our Jonathan Jones. But Jonathan Jones over at CBS Sports, and here it is. This is how it starts. And I was reading this, and I was going, oh, come on. Ever since Bill Belichick agreed to become the next head football coach at UNC, questions regarding whether he'd return to the NFL have surrounded him. Many have pointed to his buyout clause with UNC, $10 million if it's terminated before June 1st, but only $1 million after that. Would Belichick himself write that check, having made more than $20 million in each of his final seasons with the Patriots, or would the owner of the multi-billion-dollar NFL franchise hiring him consider it the cost of doing business? Sources tell CBS Sports, and UNC confirmed this week, that there is no fully executed signed contract between Belichick and UNC. An industry source says that could lead to a legal gray area about how much, if any, of a buyout there would be if Belichick left for the pros. That's interesting.
Yeah.
If nothing, then there's no buyout. So right now there's no buyout.
And I guarantee you Neil Kornrich and Bill's lawyers will win that battle. If you're admitting there's a non-binding agreement but no contract, he's not buying anything out. He will run the hell out of there as fast as he can. Now, I will say that Mike Lombardi, which is basically Bill's mouthpiece,
yes.
on Twitter.
Yes, he is, and he leapt into action for this one.
So 5 hours ago, he tweeted out, Bill is recruiting in D.C. today and Baltimore tomorrow. I'm adding a little tone.
Mm-hmm.
His focus is on North Carolina football, hiring staff members, and developing the team.
Tell him, Steve Dave.
I actually found this line interesting. The NFL isn't an option, so please stop making it one.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Isn't an option? So does that mean no one's asked yet? You didn't say you're not leaving.
Right.
You said it isn't an option right now.
It's not a denial. I mean,
if it becomes an option, that's sort of like men are as loyal as their opportunities.
Exactly.
Cheating is not an option right now, but if a hot woman were here, I might consider cheating.
My options would be different. Like, yeah.
That was weird.
That is weird. Jones goes on to write, on December 11th, Belichick signed a short-term proposal that laid out the basic and somewhat typical terms for a high-level college football coach. A day later, at his introductory press conference, Belichick was asked about the fears people may have of him leaving. The term sheet Belichick signed is known as the Proposal of Contract Terms and Conditions. It begins with a two-sentence paragraph that, as one NFL source with a legal background put it, is consequential to the question of what will or won't be legally enforceable. And here's what it says. The university proposes to enter into an employment agreement with Bill Belichick to serve as the head football coach. It's understood and agreed that this proposal of terms and conditions shall not constitute a binding agreement, and the parties intend to negotiate expeditiously and in good faith to finalize these terms into a long-form agreement. Industry sources agree it's not atypical at the collegiate level for coaches to begin working without a fully executed contract, and a UNC spokesperson said the school has had coaches coach here for a year before they had their actual contract.
This is not a coach. This is Bill Belichick. I understand that, like, the safeties coach under Mac Brown, he actually didn't sign his contract till the second year.
Right.
That's not this situation. This is a very high-profile, unique arrival, although I do think, you know what I think is binding? If Bill has any desire to have any lasting credibility, the binding thing for me is I didn't come here to leave.
Right.
I mean, you do that, don't ever go to North Carolina again. If you leave, don't step foot in the state, because I can't imagine they'll take kindly. And even people retroactively here will use it for pot shots at Bill.
This is I resign as HC of the NYJ. 100%. I mean, he'll do that. Like, well, he's done it before.
And I actually think he learned from Parcells, and that whole era was all about covering your ass, having outs, leaving loopholes, things
like that. Yeah,
I mean, think of Curtis Martin and free agent and all back then.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think
he's been doing that ever since. Bill, on the field.
Well, when you're bred in a certain area, in an era, that's how you're trained. That's how you're used to. And it's like if you're in the mob, right? You're always looking behind you.
Right.
You come up in a certain world. Not that I know anything about the mob. That's probably more your area, because you've been telling me stories about touches with the mob in your early life.
Well, I wasn't involved with the mob, but.
But you observed it.
Where I lived was a little bit of that.
But
yeah,
if you grow up in that, you're kind of aware of it, right? And I don't. This is not nothing to me. This is not nothing to me. I'm not saying he's going to the Cowboys. I'm not saying he's leaving or anything like that. But it's hard to look at this and say it's absolutely nothing. There's nothing to it.
Right. Unless you're
Lombardi.
Lombardi, and that's
and I'm not even sure he said that. The NFL isn't an option right now.
Mm-hmm. Right now.
Right now. Isn't. Didn't say it couldn't be. Hey, Jerry, if you want to call, we don't even have a contract. You don't even have to do a buyout. We'll piss a few people off, and that's it.
Yeah. Although, now he's competing with primetime and that stuff.
Like,
you see what Ed Werder said?
I did not.
Ed Werder was like, I have a good authority that if there's an offer from Jones, Deion's taking it. And I said, you shut your mouth. Shut your whore mouth.
I'm rooting for that. I'm rooting for that.
I just know to make me sad,
No, not really to make you sad, but to make me happy. That'd
You'd
be
rather
fun.
Prime Coach Prime than Coach Belichick in Dallas.
Yeah, probably.
I think I'd rather coach Belichick in Dallas. I mean, I definitely would because I want Deion to stay in Colorado. But even if he left and went somewhere else, if it was between the two of them, I'd rather Bill.
See, I wouldn't because Bill in UNC interests me. Mm. Deion's been now at a couple of years at Colorado, so like...
Two, I mean.
But the shine is off that. It's not crazy anymore. True. I guess you want to see what he does without his kid and the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
If he goes to the Cowboys, I'm as interested in the Cowboys as I've been in a long time. And Bill has made me more interested in ACC football, no disrespect to Bill O'Brien, than I've been in a long time.
Yeah.
Like, I think he's supposed to make the playoffs. So, yeah, keep Bill in North Carolina, make that interesting, and bring Deion, and we can go back to no one caring about Colorado except you, Christian, Fourier, and a few other people.
And your new co-host. Oh, yeah.
The big guy who wants to beat me.
Whoops. You know who else went to University of Colorado? Abby Chin. Abby Chin and I were there at
really?
The same time, actually.
Did you know each other?
We did not, but we worked at bars that were across the street from each other.
Oh, my God.
And didn't even know it. And we both studied similar things. It's such a big school, but we studied similar things.
30,000?
40,000, I think. 000. If you throw in, like, post-grad and, like, the law school and all that, it's like 40,000. It's a lot.
Bigger than my town.
Yeah, it's a lot of people. And when we finally met, I used to have her on my old show in New Hampshire, we finally met and connected on Facebook. Not one mutual friend. Not one single one. And we were at the same school. We were in the same food service industry. And we studied mostly the same, not the exact same stuff, but like she was doing TV, I was doing radio. Hmm. And we didn't have one mutual friend. Isn't that funny?
That is kind of
like, it's like bizarrely funny.
It's a weird small world, big world
right.
thing. Like it's a small world, but it's really a big world because we didn't overlap.
Yeah.
And
Boulder was, you get in your bubble, you know, when you're in Boulder. That's the way it went. But either way, we're all very proud of
Buffaloes. I know nothing about Boulder, really.
It's a good town.
Know. So then you get in your bubble. You know how it is. No, I don't.
You ever been to, have you ever been to Burlington, Vermont?
No.
You never have?
No.
Well, if you ever did.
I don't think I fit in there, do
and
I?
And you're walking around, you'll notice it looks a lot like Boulder, Colorado.
Why do you feel that way?
The same guy designed both towns.
Oh, you mean literally?
Yeah.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I'm sort of interested in that, but Stiz agreed that I don't fit in Burlington.
Why? Is it because of the hippies? Too many hippies?
The visor.
The visor?
Yeah.
I mean, is that a hardo town?
Not a lot of hardos in Burlington.
Burlington, well, UVM has a good hockey team. Like, you know, they have there's some hardos there probably. Right, I'd say.
Ben and Jerry's, real hardos.
Yeah. Ben and Jerry's. Like, I think Fish became a band in Burlington.
See, so you're saying, I do
all
like
your,
ice
all
cream.
Your favorite things, yeah.
I like ice cream. I would go there to eat ice cream. Do they have a like a factory store where I can get a discount?
The Ben and Jerry's factory is in Vermont, but it's not in Burlington. It's by like Stowe. I went there once. It's near, I don't know if it's near Stowe, but it's like in that part of Vermont. And it's awesome. Oh, it's awesome. There's a part of the tour. So you tour the whole thing. At the end, they have all these like new flavors that you can't even get. Ooh. And they give you like samples of the new flavors. And we had this tour guide who every time we walked into a new room, he started singing a song from Willy Wonka.
Oh, nice.
Like we were getting the tour of the factory. It was really fun.
I appreciate his energy.
It was pretty good.
That sounds like a good tour.
Come with me.
Well, I like it.
We walk into a room. It's a bunch of guys like making ice cream. No.
Should have probably tipped your tour guide.
Probably.
Cheapskate.
I don't know. There was no good opportunity to do it. We had to pay to take the tour.
Hey, man, great job. And you got a 20 in your hand.
Mm.
A 20, wow.
I know.
Hit him with a
dub. Just the big bucks over here.
A 1 would have been better than what he gave him.
I'd imagine he didn't have that great of a voice. $20 worth of a voice, Arkan?
I wouldn't say that.
Okay. You seem like you really enjoyed it.
I did enjoy it.
And it left a mark. When was this?
This was 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, see, left a mark.
Yeah, it did.
Man's good at his job.
Well, I'll say this. Ben and Jerry, I think, pay their employees pretty well.
Oh, okay.
Right? They're very sort of spread the wealth, you know? Like
you're doing okay. I'm going to keep the money
for
myself.
Yeah, that's sort of how I feel about that. But, it was a good time. You should, if you're in Vermont, that's one thing I would recommend. And also, the Alchemist Brewery up there that makes Heady Topper.
Yeah.
You don't like Heady Topper?
I mean, do they make Miller Lite?
They do not.
Okay, so if I can't get Miller Lite, I don't need to go there.
All right, fine.
Me and Bob Uecker are the same.
What do you got back there, Stish?
Have you guys seen Bill's girlfriend's latest Instagram post?
I don't miss one. No, I actually haven't. What does it say?
Creep.
So it's her and Bill.
I'm a creep. I'm not the 72-year-old that's dating her, first of all.
Well, that's true.
You call me a creep.
I didn't say you were the biggest creep.
All right. What? What is it?
He's holding it up 40 feet away.
I can't
see what it says.
Oh, you guys can't see. I apologize. So
it looks like two people. That's all I can see.
She's holding a football, and they're looking lovingly, gazing into each other's eyes, all baby blue background. And the caption says, pictured. Two people who are overtly committed to at UNC football.
Just so she knows, I'm not sure he's overtly committed to you. Never mind UNC football.
Yeah, right?
Like,
it's got big Brad Marchand, David Pasternak post
big
vibes.
Time. Yeah. Big time. Oh, yeah.
Overcompensating. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. We also had Nick Saban.
What is her commitment to UNC football, by the way, aside from dating him?
Money.
Is she doing something with the team? I don't know. Is she like their Robin Glazer?
recruiting coordinator.
No, maybe she's the head cheerleader coach.
She's
a cheerleader.
It's true.
Right? She could be doing that.
I feel like we would have heard about
the Lady Tar Heels or whatever they are.
Lady Tar Heels. Tough group of gals. We're the Lady Tar Heels. Like, okay. So we're not messing with you.
Do we believe Bill Belichick will coach the season at North Carolina?
Yeah.
So it's still more likely than not that he's at North Carolina?
I think so. I think that
I kind of agree.
Even if something does open up in the NFL, I don't think he's any lock to get that job.
Well, I mean, the Cowboys
or any other one. I don't think so.
What about if, let's just say, Lamar Jackson and the Ravens beat the Bills this weekend 55-2.
Oh, he could take over the Bills? I mean, he doesn't like Josh Allen. But
no, he likes him now.
Now he
likes
does? Him now.
Oh, yeah, no, he's and he gets
been
to
beaten
come,
into submission.
Comes to the AFC East, where he gets to beat up on the Patriots for a while. Although, it's a little bit more challenging now with Vrabel in place.
Well, yeah, I mean, it wasn't really for that. Well, actually, it was. They only beat the Patriots by a couple points, and then they lost to him in that last game.
No, but it's challenging. I think he would have really enjoyed the opportunity with Josh Allen to face Gerard Mayo's Patriots. I think he would have thought that was a hammer versus a nail.
I agree. I think he probably would have. But yeah, maybe. And listen, I'm not sure they're going to be that much better this year. We'll see.
I also don't think the Ravens are going to blow doors off the Bills, and I think Sean McDermott's going to be there for a while.
Yeah. Well,
who is scrolling on Twitch through her Twitter account?
I was just saying the same thing to Stiz.
What are we doing?
I think it's Brian.
It's like me when I get home from work.
Brian, you know this is being broadcast via Twitch. Like what you were scrolling through and all the photos was going out to everybody.
Yeah, well, whatever.
Good Lord.
617.
Creep it on your own time.
He was going far back, too.
Yeah, I know. That's what I mean.
Yeah, hey, whatever. 617-779-7937. Cam Neely spoke today, as did Charlie Jacobs with the Bruins Black and Gold Gala. They had some interesting comments. We'll get into that next.
AUDACY. Type that into your app search, then download.
More of Afternoons with Arcand and Hart on WEEI.
Cam Neely yesterday at the Black and Gold Gala. It's Christian Arcand. It's Andy Hart's WEEI Afternoons. Nice to have you with us here today.
You'll be surprised to hear this. I have trouble with that word, too.
Which one?
Gala?
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 Gala? There's like, I struggle with it. For a short
I think I said it the wrong way at not even any of those three. I don't know how I'd manage to not say any of those, but I think I'd
Dan Ball, how would you say it? You're supposed to be like the professional.
Gala.
I would have said gala.
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 Like the apple.
Oh, yeah, those are good.
Yeah, big fan.
Or you could just say the apple gala, too. Or
gala. Apple gala? I don't even know there's a gala apple.
Oh, yeah. It's a good apple.
Okay.
It's a little shady because it seems too big. I think it's genetically enhanced.
You want my hot take? I don't like apples.
What?
Eating an apple is like eating paper mache.
Scorching.
I don't like apples.
What if you peel it?
It doesn't matter. If you peel it, it's still the same. I don't like the texture. I don't like how it tastes. I don't like anything. I like apple pie, I guess, because when you put
lots of cinnamon and sugar
and stuff on it, but just a regular old apple, like, no thanks.
So what's your go-to fruit?
Mm.
Sam Adams.
Yeah, right? Not sure I have one, honestly. I don't have a go-to fruit. If there's fruit and I'm hungry, like, I'll eat, like, you know, bananas, strawberries, blueberries.
This
grapes.
Is so classic you, though.
I just
you
don't
hate
like
apples.
Apples, yeah. Like, I don't get why people like apples so much. Like, what's so good about apples?
They're pretty good. I bring applesauce with me most days to work.
I like applesauce. Just not apples. Same thing with coffee. I don't like coffee.
So it really is a texture thing.
I love coffee ice cream. Hate actual coffee.
Wow, that's strange.
That's fair.
Will not touch it.
There's only really the essence of coffee and coffee ice cream, I'd argue. So that makes more sense than apples.
Yeah.
So it really is a texture thing.
I guess.
Yeah. Because you like everything that isn't an actual apple.
Yeah.
Well, I have that with tomato. I like most tomato byproducts, but I can't stand tomatoes.
That's a pretty common one.
I agree with that.
Yeah. Although I did try sun-dried tomatoes.
Ever had a caprese salad?
That sounds too ritzy for
me. Tomato with the mozzarella and then a little balsamic on top.
Oh, I just eat the mozzarella, and then I leave the tomato. My wife gets pissed. She'll make a whole platter of it. She'll come in, and the half of them have no
cheese. Who ate all of my mozzarella?
Ever hear the way Ty Law says caprese?
But no, I had sun-dried tomatoes. Those are pretty good because they don't taste like tomatoes. They're like a little vinegary or something.
When not bad.
Dried them out. Had that in a very good. Going to earn some bonus points here. My wife made a phenomenal shrimp pasta sun-dried tomato dish last night.
Sounds good.
Ooh, was it good.
All right.
And you know they used to use coal tar to make the,
get the hell out of here.
Ketchup red.
Get the hell out of here. No. This sun-dried tomato was red, and you know why it was red? Because tomatoes are red. Most of them, except for the green ones.
Except the ones that don't have the coal tar.
And the yellow ones.
Whatever that stuff's called.
Which is probably deadly.
Yeah.
Coal tar. If it's from petroleum, we shouldn't be eating it. Thanks to RFK, we never will again.
Great.
Yeah.
Tremendous.
Nor Doritos or Capri Suns.
Red dye number 3 or whatever is finally getting banned.
Yeah, I just saw that.
What's the one that that was in like smart food that we always got told was going to shrink our sperm?
Yellow 5.
Yellow 5.
It was in Mountain Dew.
Yeah, Mountain Dew and smart food and like yellow yellow Starburst.
That was like
you eat that? No, you're done. You're done down there.
10-year-old Stiz was like, oh my God, you know what's in Mountain Dew?
I'm like slapping Mountain Dew out of my friend's hand. No!
I don't
never
remember.
Have kids.
I don't remember hearing that.
You don't remember this?
No.
Oh, it was the weirdest rumor. This is when rumors just started out of nowhere.
Urban legend.
Oh, yeah. There was no internet. There was no way to look it up. Someone's cousin told you. Don't eat smart food. Yeah.
Like the Marilyn Manson thing.
The Marilyn Manson thing? The Richard Gere thing?
Yeah, the Richard Gere thing.
That one. The mouse in the tube and everything?
Yeah. Which, where did that come from? Someone started it, and then it spread around, and that's the way things used to happen. Now it's like it goes viral, okay? And we'll fact check this. We'll look it up. We'll see if this is actually true or not.
Snopes.
Not the way it worked back then.
Yeah.
Back then, you just heard something, and it was true.
I wonder if it was marketing. I wonder if like a competitor made popcorn or soda, like put it out there, and it's like, wow, that really took off.
You would think. Then they have like, and there we make the popcorn that doesn't shrink your sperm.
Right. And their sales are down 70%. One rumor.
We're the pro sperm popcorn, which maybe wouldn't sell a lot of bags of popcorn.
No, they'll be shooting at kids slogan. Like, no tomorrow.
But you workshop it like that. You know, you get it.
Hey, high school kids, you want to have kids? No, we don't.
What is this segment supposed to be? The Bruins?
How about them Bruins?
You're the host.
It doesn't matter.
Can you
we're
take
not
us in
Bruins.
A certain direction?
Here's the direction I want to go.
Don't give up on me yet.
Rich Keefe was caught red-handed, although he admitted to his crime of stealing an energy drink out of the fridge.
Well, he didn't think it was a crime.
Right. He didn't even know that it was against the law. He thought it was totally fine to just go and take whatever you want out of that fridge. Right. And since we're talking about food right now, I feel like this is apropos. We'll talk about the Bruins tomorrow. Anyway, so he goes back there. Courtney leaves one of her energy drinks in the fridge.
Celsius? Yes.
Is that a fancy... that's what Juan Soto was wearing, right? Wasn't he wearing Celsius hat?
Yeah.
And so it's not...
But it's no Lucky Energy.
No, definitely not. And there's also, we learned, no booze in it, which I was not aware of either.
I thought it was booze in it, too.
Celsius kind of looks like there should be booze.
Yes, it looks absolutely. Like there should be booze in it.
It looks like a White Claw or something in that.
Yeah,
that
truly realm. In that whole world.
Which
absolutely.
Is why Keefe was zeroing in on it.
Probably. Right.
At any rate, he sees that in the fridge, grabs it, drinks it, thinks nothing of it. Next day, Coco in the morning is just, where is my Celsius? What's going on? Who drank my Celsius? She's on the warpath. And she has been about a couple other food-related things. Remember that whole thing with the Girl Scout cookies?
Yep.
Like, there's been some...
Yeah, whoever did that.
Yeah.
Stiz.
We're all looking for the guy who did that. Still haven't found him yet. But yeah, she's had a couple of dust-ups here, I'd say, with the rest of us when it comes to the food. But Keefe was like, well, you put it in the fridge, and once it's in the fridge, it's up for grabs.
No!
That's crazy.
How else am I supposed to chill my drink that I want to drink later when I'm here for 4, 5, 6 hours?
Well, she left it here all day.
Well, I would say more. I'm pretty sure that thing has been in there for weeks.
So the story...
Oh, yeah?
No, I think the story is she puts a number of them in for, like, the week.
Okay.
Like at the beginning of the week, so that I can go there every day and have my.
That's
daily.
Risky, though, man. You know, like that's a risky.
Should it
proposition.
Be though?
Yeah.
It's not yours, don't take it.
Well, they have their own little office over there, first of all, which
that's
brag.
True.
They should put a little mini fridge in there, and they can have all
I
their
think
drinks
they have
in
one.
There. Oh, do they?
I think
well, she should
mini.
Be putting her stuff in there then.
But
no one's
going to
go in there.
Why can't I put my thing in the community?
You
fridge?
Can, but it might. Someone might.
It shouldn't
drink
be.
It.
It's not yours. This isn't.
Yeah,
like
but
the-
that's not fair, Andy. Because you guys both know food is dropped off here. All the time.
Right. Good point.
All the time. And I go out of my way to like
steal Girl Scout cookies.
I do that as well. But I will put stuff in the fridge. like, you know, leftover bagels, subs, like whatever it is. Like, I'll put it in the fridge.
But it's usually, you can kind of tell. And if there were like a full case or like a whole bunch of Celsius, I think you'd be like, oh, okay, we had a drop, whatever.
Right.
But if there's like three or four, you're just taking it? I assume, like, there's stuff in there right now. I put my Lucky Energy in there. I went in there to get it out, and there's like singular drinks in there. There's probably a protein shake. Are you going to take that, or you assume that's somebody's protein shake?
If there's, so Lucky Energy, Celsius, things like that, I would assume were dropped off here by the company. That's what I would assume.
Well, what
I don't
about
know
the
why.
Protein just,
the protein, protein shakes
or
are
what about just a soda?
I feel like we don't have as many sponsors with energy drinks, or not with energy drinks, with protein shakes and sodas and stuff like
that. You could.
But we do with energy drinks. Energy drinks, they bring in energy drinks here sometimes. So like that, I might look at that and be like, oh, this could be just be for anybody. But I wouldn't go in there. I don't put anything in there. I don't take anything out of there. That fridge, I don't even look at that fridge. I got nothing to do with that
Most
fridge.
People treat it that way because it's very empty. It's kind of barren in there. It's pretty damn empty. But Keith felt very comfortable taking it.
He did.
And he admitted, because I checked the freezer, because I'm still a fat kid at heart, even though Awaken 180 is maybe nice and lean. But I checked the freezer to see if there's like, hey, is there ice cream bars or anything? Because sometimes we have those cookouts out in the parking lot.
Yeah,
and they put
Mike
stuff
gets the,
in there and
gets
stuff.
The grill going, yeah.
And there was for a while a bunch of ice creams in there. And Keith admitted that he had tapped into the ice creams too.
Keith knows how to play the game. I mean, listen,
Courtney went to the cameras.
Oh, she took it legit.
I don't know if you guys have seen her social media, but she went to someone in IT.
There's a close up of Rich.
Pulled up CCTV.
Zoom in, enhance.
Yes, she did.
Oh, it is. You can see.
Yeah, you can see it in his
right
hands.
Right in his hand. Like caught red handed, but. He's not really red-handed because he doesn't think it's a crime.
Right.
So.
Can you plead ignorance when they get dragged in front of the judge?
Yeah,
Your Honor, I didn't even know this was a crime.
And he might agree with you.
Celsius.
Or he might get really mad.
Keith.
Yeah, one or the other. Anyway.
I'm on Team Courtney for this one.
And the true crime was not drinking Lucky Energy in the first place.
Right. That's exactly right.
Stay away from that other crap and drink the good stuff.
That's
Lucky
right.
Energy.
617-779-7937 is the phone number. We were supposed to talk about the Bruins. Whatever.
You've lost control.
I've lost control.
Focus.
I'm totally.
When you get to nights, you can do whatever the hell you want.
That's right. And I'm already starting. When we come back. We'll hear from Brian Hoyer. Is Mike Vrabel just going to steamroll everybody? How much collaboration is there really going to be with this Patriots team? And how do you find that happy medium between Gerard Mayo and Bill Belichick, who has not signed his contract yet? We'll get to all of that. We got a quiz with Stiz coming up at 5:30. That's all coming up in the final hour here, WEEI Afternoons.